This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome to If I Were You, a comedy podcast being recorded in a low point in human history.
A comedy podcast we must record because we have to release it today, but none of us feel very funny.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of the morning after Trump episode where we're just like, let's just talk about our feelings and what the hell we're going through right now.
Yeah, exactly. Only our feelings matter so much less in this specific scenario.
It feels weird to get through emails being like, this chick swiped me right on Tinder and I don't know if I should hook up with her because she says she's in an open.
How I pine for those problems to be the problems. Wouldn't that be good? For those to be the real problems. It's fun because they're superficial.
It seems like every 3 months we wish we could just go back to 3 months earlier where things were, we thought was the lowest point, but didn't quite hit rock bottom yet.
Yeah, when it was just a pandemic.
Oh, can you remember when it was just coronavirus and not this mass oppression that we were actively fighting and experiencing through every major American city?
I guess the oppression and racism has always been there. So we could, rewinding the clock 3 months wouldn't really fix that. But I guess the sort of boiling point that we're in feels kind of tough to live in.
Yeah, you went to a protest the other day in Brooklyn.
I did. I think Carnell went to one on Friday and Saturday, and I was sort of trying to like build up my mental fortitude because, you know, pandemic. You're told to stay away from the crowds, but I was feeling really awful. Didn't know what else to do. And then I went to the protest on Sunday, and it was very nice. It was not what I had like built up in my head. It was not scary at all. There, like, everybody was keeping their distance. Everybody was very respectful. You're listening to passionate, moving speeches, and it was an entirely, I guess I wouldn't say nice time because it's like very emotional. But it was it was a beautiful moment, I'd say.
That's right. Yeah. And then, as these protests often do, like one little bit of escalation from one party creates this negative feedback loop and spirals out of control. And then you see these videos on Twitter or TikTok or wherever you're getting.
Yeah. And then that's all you see. You, like, there's one car on fire and that is it. It just dominates the news.
Yeah.
Or but even, there was a lot of nice stuff and no cars on fire where I was.
That's good. Or even more than the cars on fire is the looting. Like, everybody seems, the stories and the images and the videos that are most compelling is the looting, the destruction of property, which seems to be like the third most, like, if you're ranking everything, you're thinking of like, okay, the worst thing of all is this system that's been built up and governmental and systemic way to keep the white man on top. And then there's the protest violence, which is awful. And then even below that, I think, is like destroying Targets and Whole Foods and stuff like that. But yeah, for whatever reason, that's the thing that gets focused on the most.
It is. And it's such a weird, yeah, it's like, and it gets focused on the most, and it's like nitpicked, like, hey, this isn't helping the cause. This isn't helping your cause. This isn't gonna change anything if you loot a Target. But that's like, not the main thing that's happening. And it's also, I don't know, net fine.
Yeah, I'm not, that's the stuff that concerns me the least, is how like these giant store chain stores are going to be affected by the broken windows. But
yeah.
And then you look at, you know, the leaders of America, and that's the thing that they focus on the most. Trump is not weighing in on whether or not there are systems in place that keep certain persons of color at the bottom. He's more like, can you believe these thugs that are breaking the windows of a bar? Let's fucking shoot them.
'Cause, like, it's easier to, like, you're nitpicking the process or complaining about, you're complaining about, like, the... a foul or something, but not about like the game itself.
Yeah. I read a tweet that was like, if I killed one of your family members, I'd think I'd understand if you broke one of my windows. Like that part doesn't piss me off.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, this whole
sense.
Thing, this, I guess this whole recent thing was set off by, George Floyd being literally murdered on camera. So I guess that's what is the most alarming, upsetting, terrible thing about this. And seeing like people walk out of Patagonia with surfboards doesn't quite register as much as that.
Yeah. When, and also like Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, like people that was murdered in the street and like their murderers weren't arrested. Somebody, Breonna was also just like murdered in her house. They like kicked in a door and shot her. So yeah. You can get the athleisure from Target.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
So what are we supposed to do? I'm just reading as much as possible, learning as much as possible, trying to educate myself as much as possible. I don't know. There's no like quick fix, obviously, to this thing that's been around since the beginning of America, probably.
It's early in like our education, I guess. Like we can't come on a podcast on Monday and like, talk about how we think and feel. We've been sort of ignoring it or like futzing around on the edges and for too long. So we have to dive in, and I don't know anything yet.
Yeah, but we wanted to, I guess, not ignore it, but also not spend the entire episode on it. So we figured let's just talk about anything about it for as long as we can, and then maybe we'll take a break and then come back and try to record a normal podcast so people can pick and choose the experience that they want right now. Do they want to listen to us sort of tiptoe around and try to figure out what our thoughts are and speak them in a semi-eloquent manner, or do they just want to hear us answer questions?
I can't even get close to eloquent. So if you want to skip ahead 10 minutes and talk about and talk to the Game Boy, let me know. Just skip. I really, like, it's such a weird moment because there's like, I think that we're used to just like, basically it's like a privileged position to always think about moments and like these cultural touchstones to be like, how do I fit in? What does this mean for me? What do I do? How can I help? But it's like this moment that's not about us. So there's like some sort of learning curve to just being like, shut up, listen, but also an inclination to help and do something, but recognizing that you are on the top and benefiting from the system that's in place that's hurting people.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not about you, but it's about the system that you partake in actively and to your benefit. So I don't know. I really have no fucking clue what to do.
Tell me how to ruin it from the inside.
It's weird to be like, oh, this whole thing is so messed up and it's making me feel really uncomfortable and sad. Like, good. Yeah, that's fine. That's good. You can feel those things. And that's how I do feel.
Yeah, especially since we are the same color and gender as the bad guys of this story.
Yeah, my life has been very, very easy.
So what can we do? Donate your time, donate your voice, donate your cash.
Yeah. Donate your mind. You can donate your brain to science.
Really?
And to charity.
The URL we found that seems to have the most information and options to donate your money is blacklivesmatters.card.co.
It's hard to spell.
That's C-A-R-R-D. Yeah.
Black Lives Matters, plural, .carrd.co.
Yeah, places to donate. You can donate to the victims, to the protesters, to the Black-owned businesses, or other important places. So that's just, if you don't have money to donate, you can spread the link. We'll tweet it. You can retweet. You can fave. Every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amplify.
Yeah, and then you should probably be listening to podcasts where two white men aren't sort of batting around their feelings to each other.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that if you came here to, I mean, we're just sort of in the same moment with you if you're confused and uncomfortable. There's definitely better podcast resources that can teach you much better than me and Amir can.
And then,
we're there with you and we'll listen to them too.
Yeah. And then beside all this, there's also the coronavirus, which is still raging on, which is only going to be amplified by all the, you know, protesting in close proximity and people getting thrown in buses and vans and prisons, and it's all getting worse. It's bad and it's getting worse.
Yeah. I mean, this really, it's crazy that it took all 4 years of Trump's presidency to get to this point. I guess we've been like on a simmer for a while, but like this, what we're in right now is what I feared when we were talking about the Trump election.
Yeah.
The day after he was elected.
You see photos of the White House with its lights off and surrounded by fires. It's like, okay, he is at the epicenter of this giant, colossal meltdown.
Yeah. You know, they put him in the panic room yesterday, right?
That's nice.
They should have left him there.
Somebody mentioned that like Joe Biden should just come out and start acting like president, like give a State of the Union, like start talking, and everyone just like, we just crossfade to Joe Biden and like start to ignore Donald Trump completely.
That would be great. Imagine if they just left Trump in the panic room. It's like, okay, sir, this is for your safety. He's like, there's no food in here. There's no water.
That's fine. You're morbidly obese, so I assume you could survive for at least a few weeks off just water alone. Just a
closet. This is the panic room, buddy.
I mean, he's not even saying anything. He's not even addressing anybody.
He's just sitting there like tweeting about people stealing stuff from Walmart.
Yeah. I woke up the other day and I'm like, let's see what's on Twitter. And the top tweet was him tweeting China with an exclamation mark. I'm like, all right, that's interesting. Good. Nice.
Yeah. He was also like, he was trying to like make Obamagate happen or something.
It's yeah.
Like, accusing President Obama of a crime. Like, yeah. Okay, buddy. That's like eye on the ball here.
Rome is burning, so you don't have to point to your last president and say that it's going to make Obamagate look like small potatoes or whatever he said.
Oh, no.
We're fucked, and it's getting worse. Everything is bad, and it's getting worse. What'll be the next thing?
What will be the next thing?
Natural disaster? I feel like we're due for one of those, because, you know, yeah, like the virus is bad and then the cities are burning, like the oppression has reached a boiling point, and now let's like throw in what? A tornado or hurricane?
Forest fires, that could be one.
Yeah, cuz summer months are coming up.
Yeah. I'm with you. Natural disaster. That's the icing on the cake. That's like, oh, maybe, you know, like in Sims, when you could sort of create natural disasters to your cities. I feel like there's going to be a monster. That's what's
going to happen. Oh, interesting. A Godzilla of sorts.
Giant Kraken comes out of the sea in Miami and just sort of starts like pulling buildings down with its tentacles. That's what's next.
That's good. At least the buildings are completely empty because of the disease.
Of the virus. So,
yeah.
That's cool. That's good. And so we're in June. 3 months from now is what, September?
End of summer.
September 1st, end of summer. Do you think the world seems better or worse than right now? Are we at the low point, or are we like on our knees about to face plant onto rock bottom?
Yeah, it's hard to, it really all depends on what you consider rock. Like, are these protests, are they quote unquote good for society because people have finally had enough, and then we're having the difficult conversations, and then we're having the outbreak of anger. Like, you could say right. that this is all a good thing. This is inspiring. Like, what's worse is the few months before this where all this stuff was still happening, but everyone was silent. So really it's hard That's to true. Quantify good and bad. But
yeah, is the fever breaking right now, or is it
getting worse?
Yeah. Or is it like pedal to the metal? We're not releasing, just heading towards a disaster.
How can things get better? I just don't see a path unless like nothing can happen. Like you can't dismantle centuries yeah. of oppression in 3 months. The disease is around more Especially people now than it was 3 months ago, and we're starting to reopen things. So like that's gonna be bad. Like Los Angeles 2 days ago, it's like, all right, let's fucking reopen restaurants. You can eat in a restaurant, and everyone's like, what? Who's gonna go there? Who's gonna do that?
There's no, there's seemingly no strategy. It's just like boredom, or it's just like you know what? All right, I don't care. Open it up.
Yeah, and California is supposed to be one of the most liberal, smartest, science-driven states, in Los Angeles, the California of California. And they're like, all right, record case numbers, death's still going up. Let's open restaurants. Let's do it. Let's fucking open the restaurants.
Yeah, New York City is supposed to be one of the most liberal cities in the world, if not the most liberal city in the world. And here we are, like, throwing protesters in jail and shit and escalating violence in the street.
Yeah. Did you see that picture of a bunch of white millennials eating brunch in front of a protest?
I sure did.
Whoa. Like, zooming in, that's you. You're eating some sort of Benedict.
I honestly, it feels like that was a week ago. That was me.
Yeah, I could see you having corned beef hash, and then behind you, a police officer sort of escalating the violence, throwing an old man down with his shield.
That's quite enough, okay?
What?
I was protesting as well because my toast was burnt.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
That was the worst thing that had ever happened to me.
There's also an election coming up. You sort of forget that. Everyone was worried that the election would be all-consuming, a year of debates and how annoying it will be. Now the election is in November, it's June, and I haven't heard of Joe Biden in the last few weeks.
I think he went to a protest yesterday.
That's nice.
Let's say that website again, because we aren't a good resource, but we have a small platform. And all we can do is try to direct people to the same resources that we're using.
Yeah.
Even if we don't fully know or have the same experience as the people we're trying to help. But blacklivesmatters.carrd.co.
Yeah. And all right, let's take a break. Thanks, some sponsors. Come back with a half version of our comedy podcast after this.
Yeah.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. America's still on fire, but we got some emails.
That's right. And let's make this second half extra goofy. Oh, sorry. Okay, that was all the energy I could muster. Let's go.
I'll see you in a week. Yeah. Here's a suggestion email, not a question, but Anna writes, Jake might like Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley. What is that?
Yeah, I guess not sure if you've... Yeah, she finds it like Animal Crossing without the stressful parts. It's more focused on the farming and resources, and the people are actual humans, and the animals don't talk, and the time doesn't pass while you aren't playing, so you don't get yelled at by Nook after a couple days off. Did that happen to you? Did you get yelled at by Nook?
I didn't get yelled at, but I've heard that people, like, one of the residents of my island was like, I haven't seen you in a while, where have you been, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a little stressful that time passes in real time. That was definitely a conscious choice to make it seem like I could never stop playing Animal Crossing. But Nook's not the boss of me. And I have stopped playing.
Oh, you stopped?
Well, not stopped. But over the weekend, I definitely took some time off. I didn't visit my island.
Yeah. I saw you at the protest holding up a Nintendo Switch. Wondering if anyone had a charge. All right, here's an actual question people had. This one is from a 22-year-old bisexual girl from the Philippines.
Okay.
We'll call her Philippa. I've been with my boyfriend for almost 5 years now, and he's literally perfect and does not cause me any problems. Our families are pretty close, and my parents love him. Here's my issue. All this time alone and away from him because of quarantine has got me thinking that I haven't had my life explored, like in the dating world. We met at our sophomore year of college, and we've been together ever since, so I didn't get a chance to date around and explore new people. He's really committed to me, and even talks about wanting to marry me and start a family with me, and that's great and all, but I kind of don't want to settle down yet, and I feel like if I don't get out of this relationship now, I'll have a hard time getting out of it in the future. Yeah, I mean, she's been in it for 5 years. I've only ever been comfortable with my sexuality these past few years, and so I've never even been with a girl before. Basically, to make a long story short, I want to start dating girls. But I'm scared I might be throwing away a good thing. Hope you guys answer this. Thanks. Love you.
Hmm. Well,
this is a weird time to be like, I want to see other people. That being said, I can't see anybody else for a couple months to a year.
Yeah. But it is also true that like this moment right now is the easiest time you'll have getting out of your relationship. Like if you stay together through the quarantine, it's going to be harder because you've gone through another hardship and stayed together. So your relationship is thus more fortified. A little further, it's like, oh, we've been together for 7 years. We can't break up now. There's like, it's not going to get easier to break up. It only gets harder. So if you're feeling like you want to break up, you should do it right now.
Yeah. But then you can't, how are you going to explore your bisexual side of dating women for the first time ever if you can't leave your house for very often?
You can do it virtually for a time until you're ready to start going on dates IRL.
It feels that's like cool.
It'd be an interesting time to be single, but like you could meet people on the apps, chat, see who you like, and then do a socially distant date where you go on a walk with a mask. That's kind of nice. Like, I think I'd be happy to go on a date wearing a mask. Pressure is pretty low. You don't have to like make a first impression. They won't see your face. That's good. You could have a zit.
You can have bad breath, which was the hardest part for me dating. Like oftentimes my gums and plaque would reek of shit. And like, that's, it's hard to say like, stay 6 feet away from me when we're meeting up for the first time. And it's hard to say like, I actually don't smell like tuna if I'm leaning in for a kiss and I reek of fish.
Yeah. Of tuna. Yeah. Why not just brush your teeth?
Oh, that's true. I feel like I should have written into the podcast. Well,
I just got a whiff of your breath. I don't know how over Zoom. I don't know how, but I saw your upgraded. Microphone just wilted.
green steam came out of my mouth.
You have greasy breath.
Speaking of greasy, check out the HeadGum Podcast. Me, you, Jeff, Riley, Marika. We're just hanging out once a week.
Yeah, that's a greasy pod.
Yeah, things get very greasy, very silly over there. So if you need an extra dose of silliness, we recorded an episode last week before we were depressed. So
or only mildly depressed.
That'll be a good release. Yeah. Again, you always wish you can rewind time to 2 months previous. So I can't wait to see what happens in early August to September that makes us pine for this day.
Insane. Cannot imagine. Sure, it will happen.
Mothra.
I would also say, as you're breaking up with your boyfriend, tell him exactly why. Tell him everything you told us. And he might have some insight as well. Like maybe he'll be like cool with an open relationship. Like you seeing other girls might not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like if he's been chill so far, he might continue that trend.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are less threatened by women. It's not like you're asking to date another guy. You're like, I want to explore my female sexuality and date females. He might be more open to it.
Yeah.
Than just like, I want to date that dude versus you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's another one. This one's pretty funny. Hey guys, we'll call this guy Reginald. Hey guys, I have a question about pubes, writes Reginald. When I started dating my GF, I noticed she has an interesting trim pattern. She doesn't shave the underside of her business because she has sensitive skin, which makes sense. She said she trims it with scissors sometimes. Sounds dangerous, but I'd venture a guess that trim doesn't happen too often. I don't really like getting a mouthful of bush every time I go down on her. If I bought a nice pube trimmer, would it be totally out of line to suggest she try it too? If it helps, I'm planning on proposing soon. I have a ring and everything. Thank you for your help. I would propose first. She might be changing her mind if you say, you get down on one knee with a trimmer. Will you shave yourself and marry me?
A mouthful of pubes.
Oh, God. So propose. And then what's the most gentlest way to bring up the idea that he would prefer if the pubes weren't as bushy on the underside, despite the fact that she has sensitive skin?
No, yeah, I just think you can't. I just think you can't. I don't know. I don't think you can. I think it's impossible. I do.
Even if you're engaged to have an open, honest conversation about pubic hair, if you're coming from the right place.
Yeah, I think when you're married, there's going to be a lot less pube maintenance. If it wasn't happening during the courtship phase, it's not going to start now.
What about the fiancé-ship of it all? You know, you're obligated to marry still, obviously. It's not a real contract, but it's a social one. And you guys can talk about the fringe details like pubic hair, personal hygiene, things of that nature. And yeah, maybe something will come up that she can hopefully, potentially, maybe if she's interested and wants to help you go down on her to trim the underside of her situation.
I think all you can do, and this is really, like, I think you, my true advice is to just get used to having pubes in your mouth, and that's fine. That's someone you love. I have no problem having pubes in my mouth. Strangers' pubes never bothered me, you know, it's fine.
Even if it was in my soup.
Like, yeah, you like licking the vagina, just enjoy everything that comes with it, whether it's pubes or not. That's it's all positive, okay? But if you feel like you really, really can't stand it, then I think the only measure you can take is start having a meticulous pube grooming ritual for yourself. Lead by example. Don't ask your fiance to do anything you aren't doing yourself, pube-wise.
Maybe she'll be inspired.
Maybe she'll be inspired. Maybe she'll see your pubes and be like, damn, that's a neat line. How did you get that? They're all so uniform.
I'm intrigued. How'd you get the fucking vicious triangle on top of your peen?
Is that a zero fade from your grundle?
Zero fade? A comb over?
My mom's pubis has a bald spot.
All right, one last question.
Sure.
Another lady from Vancouver, so we'll call her Canada. Can you tell that we're drained creatively, that we're coming up with names that just sort of rhyme with where these people are from?
Yeah, that's on us.
Again, apologize. Low energy, bad effort from us, but here we are doing our best.
Low energy Jeb and Sleepy Joe are hosting this one.
I'm going to take off my mask.
How funny is it that Trump's nickname for Joe Biden is Sleepy Joe, when last election he couldn't come up with that adjective sleepy for someone he called Low Energy Jeb?
So he should have used, you're saying he should have waited on Low Energy?
It should have been Sleepy Jeb. Like, low. It's insane that a nickname was four syllables long, Low Energy Jeb. And then he was like, oh, it's so much faster to say Sleepy Joe. That's right. Anyhow, all right.
Have you resigned yourself to the idea that Trump might win this election in November? Like, we'll just have another 4 to 40 years of this guy?
I guess no, I have not. I can't accept it, and I can't.
All right. Canada writes, longtime listener, and you guys have got me through multiple unrequited loves. Yeah, not even breakups, LOL. Glad I got to shake Amir's hand in Vancouver in 2018 before it was illegal. I swear it wasn't me that gave you the flu. So hear me out. Baby Zoomers, the name for the next generation of people born after COVID. Yay, nay, genius, thoughts? I'll see myself out. You're welcome. So instead of baby boomers, this next generation of people are going to be called Baby Zoomers.
That's pretty solid. The weird thing to me, I guess, is that, like, calling someone a Zoomer because they were born during Zooming, like, while other people were Zooming. Like, isn't it weird because it it implies that they are the ones that use Zoom all the time, but really it was their parents that were using Zoom all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But baby boomers are because the parents were fucking after the war and there was a boom of babies.
Yeah. They called it the baby boom. So you're like, oh, I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah.
So it'd more be like, what is... I get the spirit of this, and I think it's not bad at all. I think it's pretty solid.
You'll allow baby zoomers?
Yeah. I guess
wanna
I would.
Want to feel old? This baby zoomer is 4 months.
What will that next generation be called?
I don't know.
We're millennials. There's like the silent generation, baby boomer, Gen Y, Gen Z. That's the young generation right now.
Yeah, and who comes up with the names of it?
But like they haven't gotten like their moniker. I don't know.
Well, if you're out there,
I'm going to Google
the different names of the generations.
Generation naming systems.
And is it just an American thing?
I don't know that either.
Like are you a baby boomer if you were born during that time but in like London?
Maybe, because it was all about the World War. All right. Well, there's a giant Wikipedia on generation, so I don't think it's the right kind.
We'll see you in another 2 weeks, I guess.
I have some other more important reading to do, to be honest.
Now you should really get to the bottom of why they're called Gen X. Yeah.
I am seeing that now. Post-millennials, that's what this one next one is called.
Post-millennials, headed by when Post Malone was born. Everybody after Post Malone is a post-millennial.
Okay, Zoomer.
Okay, consumer.
Ooh.
I don't know if I trust the idea, or I don't know if I like the idea of a generation being named after a product, though. Like, that's free advertising for Zoom.
That bumped me a little bit, too, actually. It is crazy how much Zoom is killing it.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. This was like...
Even Google can't get in there.
No. I heard of this technology, like, the day after the pandemic, I think, right?
Yeah, and by that time, it was already like a publicly traded company, so it had to have been around for years and years, and we just didn't, look for Zoom in your email. Were we on a Zoom call 3 years ago and just didn't realize it?
It's like a weird tech, like, struggling startup. It's great, like, and for a year or two, I think I, like, recorded podcasts with you over FaceTime and with Murph and Emily and Caldwell on, like, Google Hangouts. It was so laggy and bad.
Yeah, the big problem is like when two people are talking at once, how does the software handle that? Because some people, like some software, it's like, let's just silence everybody and you can't hear anything. Some people let the louder person talk and silence the other person. Some people let both of them in at the same time.
Yeah, Zoom does a pretty solid job of blending that audio. So like even when three people are talking over each other, you hear everyone. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. I think I've noticed that like the loudest person is the clearest, and then you can still hear the other people.
Looks like our first Zoom call was actually in late October.
Wow. So we were using it relatively recently, but still before the pandemic.
Yeah, we did it for a HeadGum company-wide meetings. Interesting stuff.
Oh yeah, when all of New York and all of LA were in the same room. We only needed two of us.
That's right. Weird.
A time of innocence. A time of Zooms. All right. Well, we definitely talked for 30 to 40 minutes, which is pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah, we got it out. Late, low energy, bad, but... Can you blame us for that?
Honestly, it's your problem if you're not happy with it. Like, that's on you. I didn't do anything wrong.
I accept some.
All right. For more questions and answers and theme songs, send them to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. We didn't open with a theme song, but we did get a good one from Vicky this week, so maybe we can close with it. Vicky,
yeah,
and I think
not?
She said, shout out her boyfriend. Let me look up her boyfriend's name. And there's more silliness to be had on the HeadGum podcast, and our Patreon has videos. We're quizzing each other, we're taking the SATs, we're answering questions, we're watching our old videos.
Indeed, that's a nice distraction.
Tens of hours, a lot of stuff on our Patreon. Yeah, Vicky wrote a theme song. Shout out to her boyfriend, David. So thank you to Vicky and David. Thanks to you guys for listening. The URL again, if you would like, if you can spare anything, is blacklivesmatters.card, C-A-R-R-D.co. Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Yeah, I'm hopeful and scared. We'll see.
Today we're gonna seize the cheese.
Buy some beard oil and eat Jake's mom's cookies.
Amir can't stream his TV shows. Do if I were you, I'd pee in a bottle and sell it too. What'd I do if I were you? I'd listen to these two coy Jews.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.